Liberty University president Jerry Falwell Jr. is caught with his pants down. Actually, he posted a picture with his pants unzipped. Seth Rogen comes out against Israel and gets taken to task by someone who actually lives in Israel. And if you don't care about studying the end times, you got a problem. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we have a number of topics, some of which I would say are disturbing, especially the first one we're going to be talking about concerning Liberty University president Jerry Falwell Jr. Yes, the picture has messed with my mind after seeing it, and so I guess my speech is a little messed up today. But in all honesty, I have had a number of people, some of which have gone through, actually, I think five or six different students who have gone through our youth group who have graduated from Liberty University. My brother-in-law graduated from Liberty University. We have friends, our brother in Christ, Patrick, is, I believe, in the Master of Divinity program there as well. So, you know, we've had a lot of people go to this school, especially because if you guys know anything about online schooling, they offer, I believe, one of the cheapest packages in terms of going through online school. And so, you know, they have some classes on evangelism. They have some classes, you know, that are pretty good. They got some teachers like Dr. Gary Habermas, who's probably the, you know, foremost expert concerning the resurrection right now on the planet, probably. So they have some great teachers there. But the president, really, in all honesty, Jerry Falwell has been out to lunch for quite a while. You know, if you go to Liberty, you are not allowed to attend certain concerts and you're not allowed to go out to clubs or be caught drinking. Obviously, I get the reports from the people that actually go there, and it is found that that does still happen. But you're supposed to be held accountable when that does take place. But of course, Jerry Falwell and his wife are caught doing those things, and he just goes, well, I'm not a pastor. It's not a big deal to me. Jerry Falwell recently was caught on some weird party where they were mimicking a weird show, a vile show. I'm using the word weird because it is weird. And that's something that I posted alongside of the image that Jerry Falwell, and by the way, if you're listening to this and saying, well, you know, because we had a lot of comments, hey, maybe it's not really him, it's Photoshop. No, he already came out the next day and said, yeah, I posted it and I deleted it. You know, I thought it was funny. I was just being funny. But if you see the image, it's a woman with her shirt pulled up and her pants unzipped. He's sitting there and he claims there's no alcohol in the cup there. Regardless, the Bible is very clear. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says we're supposed to avoid even the very appearance of evil. So we shouldn't be glorifying evil and thinking that is funny. And we've had people come out against us and say, I can't believe this. He's just having fun. Guys, there is nothing wrong with having fun until you take it into the place of coarse jesting or glorifying that which is evil. And some people also came to us and said, well, he was just helping his friend promote their TV show. And that could be true. If you guys didn't know, this show is supposed to be called, I believe, the Trailer Park Boys. And on the Christian Newsnet article that we posted, here is a little bit of the background of some of the episodes. And I'll read at length here so you guys get a good understanding. Quote, while it is unclear as to the meaning of the two posing in such a manner, according to an outline of the television show in an episode, Blank Expletive Community College, Let's Get Drunk and Eat Chicken Fingers, At one point, Julian remembers a drunken night with Lucy, where he blacked out and woke up in bed with her the next day. Other episodes on the television show are titled, I'm Not Gay, I Loved Lucy, Wait a Second, Maybe I Am Gay, Gimme My Blank Money or Randy's Dead, Mrs. Peterson's Dog Gets Blanked Up, and You Want the Lot Fees, Sexual Vulgarity. Falwell had written under the photo, more vacation shots, lots of good friends visited us on the yacht. I promise, that's just black water in my glass. It was a prop only. However, it was more than the glass that raised concern among those who saw the image, as they wondered why Falwell would pose with his pants unzipped. Guys, there is absolutely no reason. I don't care what you're doing to pose and think you're funny posing pictures with you and another woman who is not your wife's pants pulled down on some yacht while you're acting like you're drinking something. This is not behavior of a believer. Stop letting people off the hook because you say, well, they're not a pastor. They just run a Christian university. Oh, they're just in a leadership role in that way. There's no excuse for this behavior. It's unbecoming of a believer. And in all honesty, I would have a tough time going to a college where this was El Presidente. This would be a major issue for me. And it's sad that we would even have to talk about it because it's embarrassing. And I've seen people post as well. And I like to give you guys, hey, this is what people are coming at us when we post this stuff. And they say, obviously, oh, you guys can't joke. No, I love having a good time. If you ever got to know the guys at Good Fight Ministries with Tony, myself, Joe, Steve, and other people involved at the ministry here, you know, unless we're talking about Jesus, we're probably not being serious. All right. We do not take ourselves too seriously. We like to have a lot of fun, but it's never in a coarse manner. It's never in this manner. There are plenty of life situations that are funny. This is not funny. It's grotesque, and it's just as gross as it is weird. I'm looking at this belly on both people, and I'm just like, what? Why? And that's the reason that he pulled it down almost immediately after posting. And so when you're saying, oh, why are you throwing out people's dirty laundry that they're, you know, why are you throwing this out? No. They're the one who posted it publicly. They deal with the ramifications for the sin that they commit. When somebody, I believe, commits any public sin, they need public repentance. And that is not at all what Jerry Falwell has done. Jerry Falwell Jr. needs prayer. In all honesty, this man, by the fruit he has displayed, by the hypocrisy that he has displayed, remember when Romans 2 mentions those who say, you do not steal, yet you steal. You say, do not lie, yet you lie. Judgment is coming upon you. That is not simply to pastors, guys. We need to recognize when we're reading the context of something, hypocrisy is something that God clearly hates. And it's sad that we can say, oh, because someone's not a pastor, we don't hold them to a standard by which they're supposed to be believers. It's embarrassing, in all honesty. So let's be sure we're holding people accountable, and we do so in love. I believe that 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians give us a great understanding of when believers are caught in any sin. In 1 Corinthians, the clear message is to turn a young man over to Satan, because this is a son sleeping with at best his stepmom, but probably his mother, and they're being accepted into the fold like there's nothing wrong. And 1 Corinthians 5 makes it so clear to us that guess what? If you sit down with a so-called believer who is walking in immorality, then I am now helping him partake in it. I'm not supposed to eat with him. I'm not supposed to show you're just one of the brethren why you do stuff like this. It's totally okay. No, we're supposed to call it out. We're supposed to say, I'm sorry, I love you, but I can't have you sit here. I can't take communion with you. You can't fellowship with us in this way. You are a mission field, and I will not pat you on the back as you go to hell living this life free from Christ, thinking that you are free from sin while you live in it. That's a lie. We don't want that. And then what's interesting is 2 Corinthians tells us about this device of Satan, the schemas, the devices of Satan, and that device was being unloving to that same repentant person who came back to the Lord after, came back to the Lord after being rebuked and turned over to Satan. So it is really, really, really important that we have both angles here. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6 makes it clear that, hey, you know what? We're not talking about not witnessing to non-believers. We're not talking about not being about the business of the kingdom with non-believers, but it's about not being unevenly yoked, which is what is addressed in 2 Corinthians 6. Your best friends should not be unbelievers. Your kids, boyfriends, and girlfriends, if your kids are believers and you care about their soul and the soul of the person they're dating, better be a believer or they are being unequally yoked, and just be ready for the fornication and the abortion and the things that take place because of that. I got to throw that out there because I have to be honest, because that's what happens when relationships are unevenly yoked. When your best friend is a non-believer, what takes place is you confide in a non-believer and you can get damnable advice from a non-believer rather than a blood-bought believer who has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. This is something I'm passionate about, and because I've been involved in youth ministry for so long, 9, 10 years, whatever I've been involved in youth ministry, I have seen the patterns over and over again, and you see the slippery slope, and I see the parents that are just like, oh, he's such a nice guy. I'm like, yeah, of course he's nice to you. He's trying to sleep with your daughter. Like, give me a break. Let's be serious here. Let's have a real conversation. Let's have a real discussion about how big of a deal that is. Because do you know what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 when he says, don't be unevenly yoked? He tells you why. Because Christ has nothing in common with Belial. Christ has nothing in common with Satan. You should not be tied to the unbeliever. And 1 Corinthians 10 says that you cannot sit at the table of the Lord's and the table of devils. Do not welcome someone into your house as a person of Satan and say, here's my daughter, I'm sure you'll treat her good. Or here's my son, I'm sure it'll be fine, you as an unbelieving girl. That it's just not gonna work. Don't mean to go down that rabbit trail because we have a lot of topics actually to discuss on this episode. But a video went viral concerning Seth Rogen. And whenever we get these amazing political insights from Jewish people who don't like Israel as a nation, we think they have some greater esteem. And we're supposed to look at their word and put some sort of trust in some stoner. I'm sorry, that's exactly what Seth Rogen is. He's just a dude who makes stoner videos and laughs funny. That's all he is. And so when he puts out his opinion, and you're going to hear him talk about how religion is ridiculous, and when he puts out his opinion, for some reason, some person who happened to be born Jewish now gets his word amplified, and because he smokes a lot of weed and does it on camera, now gets his word amplified, and to say, you know, to speak about the political realm concerning the Palestinians and the Jews and whose nation it is, and he just sounds ridiculous. So what I'm going to play for you is a clip sent to me by my brother in Christ in Israel. He's been a missionary in Israel for over 30 years. And Ted, I won't even say how old you're getting. You left the beautiful San Diego, which I just was in this last weekend. And by the way, that is one of my favorite places on earth. And yes, I have traveled a bit. So San Diego is one of my favorite places on earth, but so is Israel. And he's left beautiful San Diego in order to go to Israel with his family. I mean, his children served in the IDF and he's been a missionary there. And you know what, Ted? I would love to come out there with some brothers in Christ and do some more mission work with you and Max out there, man. You guys do some great work. But he sent me this video and I watched it and I absolutely loved it. And if you were listening to the intro, I said that Seth Rogen is taken to task. And that is exactly what happens in this video. And I'm going to give you more of the, he's going to give you, the man in this video is going to give you more of the political understanding and the historical understanding of Israel as a nation. And then what I want to do is do it from a biblical perspective, what the Bible says about Israel as a nation, so that if you hold and side with the Palestinians and whose land it should be, I hope that you now see that you are wrong historically and biblically. So let's play it.
Okay, so first of all, I'm not mad at the shocking comments that he made, but I'll explain why. So basically, Seth appeared on this podcast that is hosted by another Jewish comedian, Mark Maron, and here is what he said.
Well, you don't keep all your Jews in one basket. I don't understand why they did that. If it is for religious reasons, I don't agree with it because I think religion is silly. If it is for truly the preservation of Jewish people, it makes no sense because, again, you don't keep something you're trying to preserve all in one place, especially when that place has proven to be
volatile.
Pretty volatile, you know? And I also think that as a Jewish person, like, I was fed a huge amount of lies about Israel
my entire life,
you know?
Yeah.
They never tell you that. Oh, by the way, there were people there.
As a Jew myself, who is living in Israel, it pains me to hear this. Because, first of all, if Seth Rogen, living his comfortable life far from Israel, doubts the sense that Israel's existence make in terms of protecting the Jews, then 100%, he was fed a huge amount of lies about Israel. Because there is no doubt here. Israel is the only Jewish state in the entire world. If it doesn't make any sense to a Jew, then it is pure ignorance. Why do French people live in France? Why do British people live in Britain? Because it is where they are from. Same thing with the Jewish people. Without Israel, Jews don't have a place they can truly call home. During World War II, as Jews were rounded up, sent to death camps, to the gas chambers, and faced so many atrocities, their one wish was to return to Jerusalem. It was our 2,000-year-old dream. After 6 million Jews were murdered, Jews needed a safe haven, and Israel is that safe haven today. Israel Defense Forces are defending us from those wanting to destroy us. So, how can one say that gathering the Jews in Israel is not safe? It is the safest place for Jews. Even when tourists visit here, they feel safer here than being in their home countries. But you know what? Seth is right. There were people here. Jews. Jews never left Israel. Even during the exile, there was still a small group of Jews living here. It's actually the Palestinians that invaded this land from neighboring countries. You can tell that by their family names and the accents that show their origin. When Jews began to return home, the land was mainly desolated. They drained the swamps and began developing and rebuilding the land. What's funny is that after Jews began developing the land, a mass amount of Arabs immigrated here during the 19th and 20th century in order to take advantage of that. When the UN partition plan was accepted in 1947 in order to solve the conflict between Jews and Arabs living here, the Jews accepted to live alongside the Arabs in one part of the land, while the Arabs refused to live alongside the Jews because they wanted all of it. They declared several wars on the Jewish people, they lost, and today they are whining because they didn't annihilate us like they wanted to. Seth, it is totally acceptable to criticize Israel. No country is free of blemishes, but just like every other country, we have the right to exist. You as a Jew shouldn't serve as a weapon in the hands of anti-Semites. You probably didn't realize that, but I hope that you will use the voice that you have to speak up against anti-Semitism and blind hate. Share this video.
Yeah, you know, and Ted, if you're listening, I know you listened to all the episodes, so I know you'll listen to this one. I would love to meet the guy who made that video. I think you know him, so that'd be great, man. I thought that was a really well done, easy display of, you know, taking these comments for what they are and examining them with the historical record of what has taken place in Israel. And it just shows you the real ignorance of people. They really have no idea what they're talking about. And it's so interesting. We were in Israel, and I was going on Twitter, and I would type in things like Israel, and you just see the nonsense that you see spewed out over and over concerning Israel. And historically, if you want to argue, you're still wrong. But honestly, I don't care. You know what I ultimately care about is what the Word of God says. And the Word of God is so clear on this subject. In fact, when Jesus, I'm sorry, but it is Jesus, but when God mentioned specifically in Isaiah 46 about knowing the end from the beginning, knowing that this God is true and the other ones are false, being able to have something that we say, why is this God true and all these phonies are not? He says, I tell the end from the beginning. And you know what the context of that is? look at the last verse of Isaiah 46, and the context is really clear. It's about his dealings with the nation of Israel in verse 13. Let me read verse 10. Declaring the end from the, or verse 9, sorry. Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other like me. I am God and there is no one like me. Now he's going to tell you how he's different than all these false gods. He is the only true God. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. And then verse 13 literally mentions this. I bring near my righteousness. It is not far off, and my salvation will not delay. And I will grant salvation in Zion and my glory for Israel. There are both things happening there. Where did the crucifixion take place, right? The prophecy of Jesus coming as Messiah. And we'll talk about that because it's in relation to his glory for Israel. And it's in relation, and it gives us a better understanding of what the end times will look like. And I want to tie this in to end times apathy because I believe that certain teachers throughout the history of the Christian church have crept in unnoticed, not only ungodly men who trade the grace of God for a license of immorality and deny the master who bought them, as Jude 4 says, but even so, that there have been teachers over time who have crept in and snuck false doctrine in that has overtaken the church in these areas. The church has never fully been overtaken. Jesus promised in Matthew chapter 16 that would never take place. But I would say with Augustine, and I believe a lot of false doctrine snuck in through Augustine, 100%. And with Augustine, something that snuck in was amillennialism. The idea that Revelation chapter 20 is so ambiguous now is how it's taken today. But the idea that Revelation chapter 20 is not a literal 70-year or millennial reign, sorry, not 70 years. Look, I'm all mixing up things, prophecy on Israel, but that's not literal because there's portions of Revelation that aren't literal. That is a real big problem because then you have to go back. And I literally was listening to a teacher who normally, he has some doctrine that are way off and has been exposed on it recently, but normally he does a good job exposing cults and exposing false doctrine that has tried to creep into the church on Bethel and these guys that we've also talked a lot about on the emergent church and things like this. But I listened to him talk about end times, and if I would summarize what he said is, maybe there's an Antichrist. I don't know. Maybe there'll be one. We don't deny it. Maybe there's this. Maybe there's that. And it really bothers me when end times apathy creeps into the church, where that's stuff we don't need to be bothered about. This is something that happened at the Calvary Chapels in here in America. I love Calvary Chapel. I disagree wholeheartedly at like the one specific, you know, doctrine that's not a standard doctrine of the Christian church, but the one specific doctrine of the pre-trib rapture that has to be involved at any Calvary Chapel, that bothers me. But I do like that they talked about end times, even if I believe they're wrong. But nonetheless, one of the things that crept in was, I believe, a chasm that was created by the son-in-law of Chuck Smith coming in and wanting to simply do like topical messages. And Chuck wanted to really be focused on end times theology. And I like that we can focus on end times theology because I don't believe the book of Revelation was written on accident. I don't believe that when we look at it and put Matthew, Mark, and Luke together, that the largest sermon that we have from Jesus is his sermon on the Mount of Olivet concerning the second coming, concerning the tribulation, concerning end times doctrine, and we just throw our hands up and say, it's too difficult to understand that book of Revelation is so hard. We don't do that with anywhere else in scripture. We don't do that with Jesus' parables. We don't do it when Jesus says, I am the door. We don't do it when Jesus identifies as something, the bread of life, and say, oh man, it's just so hard to understand Matthew because, you know, Jesus said he's the bread of life. So I don't know what to do here. No, guys, that's ridiculous. And when we do that and have apathy towards what the end times will look like and say, oh, well, it's really hard to understand. I think it's just a metaphor. You know, I can't really understand it. What takes place is right here. All mills are typically replacement theologians as well. And what happens is we don't recognize what Romans is really about, by the way, what Romans is really about. And when it talks about all of Israel being saved in the end times, and when we put that together with Zechariah, the 12th chapter, and we put that together with Isaiah 53, it's a really beautiful teaching on the end times. Not only Israel, as it says in Isaiah 66, would become a nation in a day. I'm going to read that real quick. In Isaiah 66, it says, before she travailed, speaking of Israel, she brought forth. Before her pain come, she gave birth to a boy. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Can a land be born in a day? Can a nation be brought forth all at once? Yeah, that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened with Israel. As soon as Zion travailed, she also brought forth her sons. Shall I bring to the point of birth and not give delivery, says the Lord? Or shall I, who gives delivery, shut the womb, says your God? Our God is really clear on this. And when you look at those texts and you see a text that says all of Israel will be saved, sorry, John Hagee, it doesn't mean that every person who's ever been born is a Jew. There's some dual covenant theology that they can be saved without Jesus. That's not what it's saying at all. That is the outpouring mentioned in Zechariah chapter 12 when it says they will look on him whom they've pierced. Actually, that's the New Testament quote of putting that prophecy with Jesus, because in the Hebrew, in Zechariah 12:10, it says they will look on me whom they've pierced and grieve bitterly as it for an only child. This is when the Spirit is poured out over Israel. This is when Isaiah 53 comes to fruition in the Jewish person's heart, when he sees very clearly and now believes the report. It says, who shall believe our report? And then it tells us he was bruised, he was crushed, he was pierced for our transgressions, our iniquities. Everything was brought upon him. All the sin that they committed was brought upon him. And it's at that time the fulfilled prophecy of Zechariah chapter 12, where the spirit of cleansing comes to Jerusalem. The unbelievers at that time in the end times turn to Jesus, and all of Israel at that time, not all of Israel forever, is all saved. Or why were they sharing the gospel in the book of Acts? No. Why was Jesus calling Pharisees the children of the devil? Because they denied the Messiah that paid for them, paid for the sins of the world. He was the Lamb of God that took away, that paid for, tetelestai, paid in full, bought the sins of the whole world. He is the propitiation not only of our sins, but the sin of the whole world. He paid the fine. And there will be an outpouring in the end times when Jacob comes back to the one true God. And when we do not care and pay no attention to eschatology and consider it such a side issue that we don't deal with those issues and we don't do what Revelation says and read and heed it, then we aren't blessed by it. When you read the book of Revelation, it starts off by telling you, if you read and heed this book, you will be blessed. If you are listening to pastors, teachers that lay aside end times teaching, you are throwing away so much of the scriptures, and you are not paying attention to the longest sermon that Jesus ever gave. So when we look at this historically, Seth Rogen is wrong. Biblically, he's wrong. So that means anytime you're wrong biblically, you're just wrong altogether. So what we have here very clearly is what the scriptures teach, what man teaches, and we need to submit to Christ. We need to do exactly what 2 Corinthians says and fall under the obedience of Christ as we take every thought captive. God bless.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.